say every cloud has a silver lining, but does every silver lining have a cloud? Hey there. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Mark Benioff, co-CEO of Salesforce, once said, "I think everybody understands how important the cloud is." Sure, I think certainly everyone who listens to this podcast can understand this, but no single cloud model meets every single need. In this week's podcast, Craig Johnson from Cadence Design Systems joins us to discuss how priorities and usage models should influence our choice of cloud strategies and why different clouds for different folks is the way to go.
My guest today is Craig Johnson from Cadence Design Systems. Thank you so much for joining me, Craig.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Looking forward to talking.
Okay, so we are talking about the cloud today. Now, the electronic design community has lagged other industries, certainly, in moving to the cloud, but that seems to be rapidly changing. Now, why do you think that is?
Well, we saw this as a trend starting as early as last year at DAC when we announced our portfolio. The key difference has been a change in mindset around security. While security is still top of mind with all of our customers, the trust in the cloud as a place where confidential and important IP can reside has greatly increased. We all have company data that's out there in the form of HR information. Financial data is out there. Customer data is out there. So it's almost a natural extension that eventually design would move to the cloud. And I think the time is now. It's now here and it's now happening.
I think you're right. Now, what advice would you give for companies considering a move to the cloud? And along those lines, you guys have had some interesting collaborations that you've just announced in this realm, right?
We have, and I'm fortunate to get to talk to a lot of customers about what their cloud plans really are. There are different types of customers who have different expectations about what the cloud will do for them. Some of the smaller companies have decided to not have their own on-prem environments, and they begin their journey in the cloud from day one. That has a lot of benefits in that there's no legacy to worry about, and it gives them the flexibility to take advantage of the very latest in cloud technology. On the other extreme, you've got very large companies who have massive investments in IT and essentially have their own private clouds that they manage through their CAD and IT departments. Those companies have a more complex path to the cloud, and they need to balance, how do I fully utilize the machines that I currently have? Those are depreciating assets that are coming off the books in a very regulated way, and you can't just throw that expense out the door. Right. So they have to figure out how to walk a different tightrope of a hybrid environment. So we're seeing these larger companies now look for projects and opportunities to begin using the cloud, not in absence of their environment, but in complement to their current environment. Now, one of the things that we observed is that companies sometimes want to go to the cloud on their own. Sometimes they want Cadence help. When they want to go to the environment on their own, we saw a few customers that maybe bit off a little bit more than they could chew. There are new technologies in the cloud, and while an IT person may have great skills and context for managing their on-prem environment, that may not translate immediately to a cloud environment. What we announced at DAC this year was a new program that we call the Cloud Passport Partners Program. Cloud Passport is the model that we engage with our customers who want to go to the cloud on their own. And we have partnered with five companies to begin with who specialize in taking high-performance computing workloads to the cloud. And in particular, they're expert at taking Cadence software to the cloud. So those five customers are three in the commercial space, two in the academic space. In the commercial side, we signed up Nimbus Services, Rescale, and Scala Computing. And on the academic side, we've got CMC Microsystems and then EuroPractice. So these five companies are expert at doing that, and each have their own capabilities and focus areas. And we think it's a nice complement to customers who want to go out into the cloud on their own but need a little bit of help.
Now, you talked about this a little bit, but how exactly does Cadence serve this wide range of customers, given all of their different priorities and possible use models? It seemed like it could be all over the map.
It is all over the map, actually. And some of the reason that we announced our portfolio in a relatively open way was because we knew we couldn't necessarily serve any of these customers with a single model or two. It was really a decision that the customer now gets to make. Do they want Cadence assistance or not? That's the most basic question. If they do want our help, then we've got a couple of different ways that we can help. We have three models in particular that are part of our portfolio of a Cadence managed solution. The Palladium Cloud is an emulation system that is specialized hardware that Cadence provides. We set that up and maintain it in a cloud-like environment and make it available in a cloud model. And that's a great resource to a company who's got interest in using emulation, but maybe couldn't justify purchasing and fully utilizing a system in the past. Now they can buy just the capacity that they need. On the software side, we've segmented our model into two broad categories. The first being customers who want to do their entire project in the cloud. Some of these are the startups and smaller companies that I mentioned. For them, we have what's called a cloud-hosted environment. This runs on either AWS or Azure, and we provide all of the IT and CAD support. So it's a very outsourced way of doing a design project. You bring your designers, and we provide almost everything else. The other model is new as of April, and it's called Cloudburst Platform. Cloudburst is really targeted at those customers who will maintain their own on-prem environment but want to complement it with the cloud. So in this case, they would buy software from Cadence and tell us at the time they purchase it, and this is all done electronically, that they would like that software delivered in the cloud. So we will then install that software and provide them a link to an environment that's all web-based, and they can immediately begin to upload their data and run jobs. So that is another type of user that we service with Cadence Managed Solutions.
Okay, Craig, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a bit of a gym enthusiast, and we were just talking about the cool, unique plan that you guys have created in your little group at Cadence. So tell me more about that.
Sure. We've got a few of us that like to avoid the commute in Silicon Valley, and so we come in quite early. Rather than sort of make up our own routines, we started to utilize these videos from various sources. Some of them are P90X, some of them are Insanity. Others are just things that we found on the internet. We've eventually narrowed those into a program that we repeat every 15 weeks, and it's a combination of cardio and weightlifting. And a lot of people at Cadence know about this, and they think we're a little bit crazy, but it's really quite enjoyable. Keeps us in shape and keeps us out of traffic. So what more could you ask for?
Avoiding traffic sounds good to me. Well, Craig, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Let's keep heading up, up and away, all the way to space with dual mode rocket engines in this week's News You May Have Missed. So earlier this week, it was announced that a group of researchers at the University of Illinois have proven that a salt-based propellant could be the key to the future of dual-mode rocket engines. Okay, let's step back a second. Why do we need dual-mode rocket engines? Okay, say we're on a space mission, and we want to get to that far-off asteroid belt, or Mars is looking pretty nice these days. Well, we're going to need to propel ourselves there, right? Okay, so right now we have two options to do so. Liquid-fueled rocket engines and electrostatic or ion engines. So first, liquid-fueled rocket engines. They're great for a large amount of thrust in a very short time and getting that very important payload into orbit. But their efficiency for covering long interplanetary distances is not great at all. On the other side are the ion or electrostatic engines. They work by giving propellant atoms an electric charge, and then they are accelerated in an electric field. These types of engines are great for a little thrust for a very long time, but you certainly cannot get a payload into orbit that way. And this type of engine is currently being used in current space missions, and they mostly rely on heavy atoms like xenon or cesium. So how exactly does this new research change this space propellant situation? Well, as you can see, there is a big need for dual-mode rocket engines. For future longer-distance space travel, we need a huge amount of thrust at first, and then a switch to that slow-moving but efficient mode. So instead of focusing on those heavy atom-based ion systems that are used today, this University of Illinois research study focused on an electrospray propulsion, where droplets of liquid are actually sprayed as an aerosol, charged, and then accelerated. Okay, so this is how it works. The liquid is pumped through a capillary tube that has a really tiny diameter. When the liquid gets to the tube's tip, there is a strong electric static field, which then pulls away the small droplets and then sprays them out. So in essence, the liquid selected for this system could be used in a dual-mode rocket. If we, in our vacation to Mars that is, used two propellants to do double duty, both as ion and by burning with each other in chemical rockets, we could actually get there. But what kind of liquid could do this? Well, that's where the salt comes in. This research team at the University of Illinois used a mixture of two commercially available salts, hydroxyl ammonium nitrate and enium ethyl sulfate. Most importantly, this salt mixture can be used in both electric fuel efficient mode, but also in that crucial high acceleration combustion mode. According to Joshua Rovey, associate professor in the Department of Aerospace Engineering at the Granger College of Engineering at the University of Illinois, said this study will not only provide a better understanding of how these salts interact for electrosprays, but also how this interaction can affect the output of the spray. So, the future of dual-mode rockets, my friends, may be closer at hand than ever before. So if you want even more information about this super salty space study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com with more information. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it is AmeliaD1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. Also, we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond. Or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 13th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.